Hello, everyone, and welcome to Casterbus. This is the weekly edition of the show, and I've got brilliant news. This weekend, you will get the early preview edition, first for the Patreon listeners, of James McLean's interview with Tom Selinski concerning Red Dwarf, discovering the TV series, Volume 1, 1988 to 1993, a new book that's just out from Pen and Sword and White Owl, I should say. And this is the first volume of an unofficial guide to Red Dwarf. It's full of facts and information. If you're a Doctor Who fan, it's not a million miles away from some of those in-depth volumes we used to get on Doctor Who back in the day. And we're going to be giving away copies of the book as well to our Patreons. But today's show, we are going through the usual collection of old TV news and topics that I'm particularly interested in and things that have grabbed my attention over the past week since the last edition. So let's get straight into that now. So I'm going to kick off with this. Hammer Heroes, Legends and Monsters, a featured documentary that has been produced by Jamie Anderson of Anderson Entertainment and Benjamin Field, a director, who's also directing it, for Sky. Jamie Anderson shared this on LinkedIn a few days ago, before the news was more publicly spread. He says, this documentary celebrates the brilliance of Hammer's heroes, legends and monsters behind and in front of the camera, and I couldn't be more proud of the final result. The team from Deep Fusion Films have worked wonders under Ben's direction and leadership. If you're a fan of classic horror or just fascinated by British film history, you're in for a treat. Keep your eyes on Sky Arts, 31st of October. There's also a premiere at Leicester Square on the 28th of October. I don't know if there's still tickets available for that. What I can tell you, if you're not in the UK, I can tell you that Kaleidoscope has been awarded the worldwide film distribution sales rights for Hammer Heroes, Legends and Monsters. And just because I like you, here's a little trailer.
I'm going to mention one monster.
Problems for Hammer probably started with The Exorcist.
At that point, the real battle started.
A small British film studio, born in the early 1930s, came to define the entire genre of horror cinema. We're about to embark on a voyage through the chronicles of Hammer Films.
Hammer had titanic problems with the censors.
Now you can see the blood, and the blood is going to be red.
But in that moment, it's just genius.
This was an enormous breakthrough.
It forced them to be creative.
Exploring the lives of the visionaries behind the scenes.
He was a really good director.
That really was like, ah!
There was one thing he did which enraged everybody.
Michael, no, don't do this.
And he remained undelighted for the rest of his days.
The lasting impact they've had on cinema and culture.
He kept the company alive and enabled all this stuff decades later.
You know, that was impressive.
Those films were made by people who cared. They loved them. They made them with great care and attention. Those films will last forever.
This is the story of the heroes, legends and monsters of Hammer.
His whole life had been Hammer, and he didn't want to see it die.
So, yeah, that sounds fantastic, doesn't it? It features Tim Burton, John Landis, John Logan, John Carpenter, Joe Dante, and many others, and is narrated, as you may have noticed there, by Charles Dance. Hammer Films turns 90 this year, so this is a brilliant time to bring a documentary like this out for people to enjoy. I'm really looking forward to seeing this. This should be really good. The documentary will also showcase rare footage and expert insights onto many of Hammer's horror classic movies. Wow, I'll give you all the links to that in the show notes. Okay, let's move on. And I mentioned earlier that there's an interview coming up between James and Tom Selinski. This weekend, I have been speaking to Chris Chapman about The Box of Delights, and the 40th anniversary edition. And that's going to be coming along in November, close to the release of that new edition. But the BBC isn't the only people getting excited about the Box of Delights. The book that came out recently, Opening the Box of Delights, is getting a new edition. The contents of these new chapters to this edition have been shared online in the Box of Delights Appreciation Society group on Facebook, which if you're a fan of the show, I recommend you join, because it's such a lovely group of people. This new edition will feature Kay Harker in Australia, the first proof copy, the 1962 ITV broadcast, the abandoned feature film, the Pod of Delights, the Big Finish audio adaptation, which I think featured Derek Jacobi as Cole Hollings, the RSC adaptation, the role-playing game, which I didn't know anything about, and now I'm properly on board for this, the rehearsal script of episode one of the TV adaptation. These are all new chapters that are included in the new edition of Opening the Box of Delights. Now, what is Opening the Box of Delights? Well, I have a copy of the original edition right here, which was released in 2020. It's by Philip Errington, who shared the updated chapters on the group there. The new edition is due out on the 31st of October, so that's a week away from today. I'm recording this on Thursday, sorry, I'm a bit late this week, the 24th. So this new edition is out next week. It's got a new cover, and whereas the original version of the book had 128 pages, the new edition that comes out next week features 160 pages. So those new chapters are spread across those extra pages. Now, the original book is very good. Subtitled A Stunning Visual Celebration of John Masefield's Christmas Classic, and features a foreword by Piers Tordy. I think, given that it's the 40th anniversary of the Box of Delights and there's a new edition of the book coming out, whether you have the original edition, as I do, or not, the new edition looks definitely worth getting hold of. An extra 32 pages, I think that's worth adding to your purchase of the Box of Delights 40th edition DVD or Blu-ray. So that's a lot of Box of Delights stuff. I'm really hoping to do a podcast with James about the Box of Delights in addition to my interview with Chris Chapman. That really depends on timescales and getting things in the right order. To be honest with you, I still want to talk to him about the Terminator as well. Okay, let's move on. Okay, now's probably a good time to talk about Patreon. I did mention this earlier on, but if you're not familiar with our Patreon, this is what happens, okay? This podcast that you're listening to now goes out early if you subscribe to Patreon. Our Patreon is free. Free to get them early, free to get the podcast with the extra content. There is a paid option, gives you some bonuses like books and more direct access to myself in terms of questions and discussions and things, and submitting ideas for podcasts, etc. But the actual podcasts you'll get with a free Patreon subscription at patreon.com/Casterbras. That also gives you the extra episodes. Now, as I said, this is this week's main episode, but we have another episode at the weekend, which will be James's interview with Tom Selinsky. And that's really what we want to be doing going forward, is having the weekly show like this. So the past few weeks of me hosting solo most of the time, and then an additional podcast with either myself speaking to someone, or James speaking to someone, or us speaking to each other about a key topic that we're interested in at that time. You know, we've had loads of in-depth conversations over the years on topics as wide-ranging as Doctor Who and Star Wars and Thor Ragnarok, and even how language is used in modern science fiction as well, which took us quite squarely into Fry and Laurie territory. Hold the pastor's nose squarely. Yeah, probably ruined a quote there. So you get the podcast early through Patreon. We'll still be releasing through Spotify and Amazon and Apple podcasts, but those will come a few days later. So for example, this is a midweek release if you're on Patreon, but if you're listening on Spotify or Apple podcasts or whatever, through your usual podcast player, then you get this podcast at the weekend. with the special podcasts. You'll get them early. You'll get them complete. But you'll get a shorter version on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the usual place, etc. You will also be subjected to adverts on those platforms, whereas if you're on Patreon, it's ad-free. So, just to summarise, if you sign up to our free Patreon, you get the podcasts early, you get them extended, and you get them ad-free. Sign up at patreon.com/Casterbrus. Okay, so now I've got some interesting news for Doctor Who fans of the classic variety. 10 Acre Films has already published a charity bookazine, Adventures in Type and Space. That's Type and Space, which celebrates the title sequences of Doctor Who. They are now pleased to announce, earlier this week, the Sid Sutton Collection, a new supplement to that, devoted to the 1980 sequences, and a limited edition hardback collecting both volumes. The Sid Sutton Collection features new interviews with Sid's sons, they write. Doctor Who title sequence cameraman Terry Handley, colleague Tony Geddes, and the sixth Doctor himself, Colin Baker, illustrated throughout with rare and unseen imagery from Sid's archives. All pre-orders for the Sid Sutton Collection and the limited edition Adventures in Type and Space hardback will be entered into a prize draw to win a unique archival print signed by Colin Baker. And proceeds will once again benefit UNICEF UK, a charity nominated by the original Doctor Who title sequence designer, Bernard Lodge. So that's pretty exciting, isn't it? So if you were previously unaware of these collections, let me just find... Adventures in Type and Space is currently unavailable. It's sold out. If you want to get Adventures in Type and Space, the Sid Sutton Collection, that will cost $7.99 from 10 Acre Films' website. The links will be in the show notes. But the Adventures in Type and Space Complete Collection, that's $24.99. That's the really sumptuous, hardback, attractive edition that you're probably interested in looking at. And it's been created by Graham Kibble-White, Jack Kibble-White, and Stuart Manning. It's a lovely looking front cover, and it's all about the Doctor Who title sequences and the typography and used in them. And of course, there's the Adventures in Type and Space Sid Sutton Collection, if you just want to get that, which is very much a neon themed thing. And again, with the same designers, I should add, there's a lovely video, which is how I was attracted to this news. A videographic, I think it must have been created in CGI, of the neon tubes of the early 80s Doctor Who title sequence, which was a lovely video. And it's done the job, because it's got me interested and it's got me talking about it to you guys. So you can learn more about that at 10acrefilms.bigcartel.com. Links will be in the show notes. I think it's a really interesting book. And very interesting, and not really a topic that's been discussed in print before, typefaces and title sequences in Doctor Who. So check that out. Okay, we've got some following our news last week of the Wallace and Gromit 4K. Collection of the BBC films, not the Curse of the Were-Rabbit, that's not part of that collection. There's a load more of very interesting DVDs and Blu-ray collections coming out in time for Christmas. Now, this one is of particular interest to me. This is the Likely Lads Complete Collection, a 60th anniversary edition. This includes all 21 episodes of The Likely Lads and all 27 episodes of Whatever Happened to The Likely Lads, the 1970s sort of sequel series. Not all 21 editions of the original series exist, so this will include some of the audio-only versions. This is the first time they've all been released on DVD together. Additional features exclusive to this collection include two documentaries about the programme, footage from one of the lost episodes, and two new audio commentaries by writers Dick Clements and Ian LaFrenet. The collection features, as I stated, The Likely Lads, which ran for three series and one Christmas special in between 1964 and 1966. And then the early 70s show, Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads, which ran to 26 episodes plus another Christmas special. And I think I'm right in saying a film as well. So that's going out for release on the 25th of November. Just a quick summary of the extra features. You've got The Lively Arts, The Unlikely Lads, an arts documentary which was aired on the 10th of October 1976. A short BBC feature on filming The Likely Lads. Comedy choice The Likely Lads with a short introduction by James Bolam. And Free Thinking, Whatever Happened to Dick Clement and Ian Lafrenet, a BBC Radio 3 documentary which aired on the 27th of March 2019. Now, if you're interested in Clement and Lafrenet and hearing a bit more about them, there is an edition of Sitcom Geeks, a discussion about sitcoms by was hosted by James Carey and Dave Cohen. That went out around 5 years ago. That's episode 110, and you can still listen to that. It's available to listen to on SoundCloud and various other podcast providers, but I'll give you the SoundCloud link for that in the show notes, because it's a very good chat with two people you don't usually hear on podcasts. So that is the Likely Lads Complete Collection, a 60th anniversary edition. It's a good year for anniversaries for the BBC's top programming this year, isn't it? I wonder what BBC show anniversaries we'll be looking forward to in another 40 or 60 years' time. Okay, so as I hinted to in the last section, there's a bit more to come from the new releases news. Wow, The Wombles, the original series, has been fully restored. It's coming out on Blu-ray in a collection that features a bonus DVD of the 1977 feature film Wombling Free. It was, of course, voiced by Bernard Cribbins and created by author Elizabeth Beresford in the 1970s. And if you don't know what the Wombles are, they're kind of, they're like, how do you explain a Womble to someone who hasn't seen a Womble? It's like a walking mouse, I suppose, that tidies up after people and then uses what's been left behind. They're probably, based on scale, around the size of children. Although, I'll be honest, when I was a small child, I thought they were about 6 inches tall and that car door in their burrow was off a toy. But anyway, let's escape the insane meanderings of a five-year-old Christian Corley. I'll read you the bump. For the first time ever, every classic episode of The Wombles can now be seen together, now fully restored and in high definition on Blu-ray. Created by author Elizabeth Beresford in the 1970s and voiced by Bernard Cribbins, The Wombles are well-established British folk heroes known for helping the environment by collecting and recycling rubbish in useful and clever ways, turning trash into treasures and coming up with ingenious inventions. Although Wombles live in every country in the world, these stories focus on life in the borough on Wimbledon Common in London, England, and with 60 episodes, the box set contains 5 hours of outstanding Wombles action for you to enjoy over and over again. The show was a stop-motion animation produced by Filmfare, and bonus features in this collection feature Barry Leith, the Filmfare animator, Mike Batt, the world-renowned songwriter who wrote the Wombles song and performed it. There's a documentary with him called The Wombles and Me, a feature called The Creator of the Wombles about Elizabeth Beresford, and a feature about restoring the Wombles, and as noted earlier, the DVD of the 1977 feature film Wombling Free, and a fold-out double-sided poster. This is available to pre-order now on DVD and Blu-ray. The release date is Monday the 18th of November. So again, this is another collection that's coming out in time for Christmas of classic British television. But it doesn't end there with the release news, because I've got something kind of amusing in some ways to tell you. Earlier this year, the sequel or the later sequel to Alien was released in cinemas, Alien Romulus. And unsurprisingly, it's heading to 4K, UHD and Blu-ray. But it's also coming out on a limited edition VHS. 20th Century Studios will release the terrifying sci-fi horror thriller Alien Romulus on a limited edition VHS on December the 3rd. It features artwork by renowned artist Matt Ferguson. And, I mean, you know, this is a movie that's been shot in the most high resolution available and has been enjoyed by everyone in the most high resolution available and will be streamed. It'll be available on streaming services within the next 6 months, probably. In the highest quality available. So the idea that it's coming out on VHS, they can sit alongside classic VHSs of Alien and Aliens, and Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. I think it's really a promotion. I think this is kind of a promotional thing. It's a limited edition, so I think this is really a kind of a. Yeah, a few years ago, you may know there's a game called Farming Simulator, which is available for PC and consoles. Now, a few years ago, with one of their releases, they released a Commodore 64 edition. So this is kind of, you know, a lo-fi retro version of that game. And I think this is the same thing here. They're releasing it on VHS, a fully functioning VHS as well. This isn't like a presentation case with just like a lump of plastic inside it. This is a working VHS tape. I think it's the same thing going on here. It's quite amusing. It might actually make the film watchable. I hear it isn't the best Alien movie ever. I can't speak to that fact with particular authority because I haven't seen it yet. But I think it's a brand new movie coming out on VHS in 2024 is brilliant. So whoever thought of that, absolute kudos to them. And if I can find you a link to the actual release details for the VHS specifically, I will. There's a brilliant photo, and the artwork looks fantastic. So I will. I'll certainly share a link to the artwork if I can't get you the link to purchase the VHS copy. I want to see it myself now on VHS. It's 10 Acre Films again, who have. They've announced a new book for 2025 celebrating the golden age of BBC children's television. It's called, appropriately enough, A Box of Delights. And it's an immersive history written by Richard Marson, who Doctor Who fans will know. And this will be out, as I said, in 2025. It spans three decades of production and gathers insights from over 100 newly conducted interviews. Further details on this are limited at the moment, so I'll link to that announcement on the 10 Acre Films Facebook page for you, and then you can go and keep an eye on that, and it'll be along next year at some point. Okay, I'm going to be a little bit self-indulgent now. The past two editions of the show have had a little bit of music news in them, and it's only fair that I should continue that, mainly because of the contents of this item. More than 100 previously unseen photos of Led Zeppelin performing at Nebworth Festival in 1979 have been released online. These have been published by photographer Ahmed Raza, who made the journey from Edinburgh on August the 3rd, 1979, to the event on August the 4th, 1979. It also features photographs of Fairport Convention and Todd Rundgren's Utopia, but 100 of the photos are about Led Zeppelin, feature Led Zeppelin. I'm going to link you to the Flickr album of this journey. It is absolutely fascinating. I was four in 1979. In fact, I was three at this point in 1979. So, you know, I have memories of this world. But really, it's, you know, the whole thing beyond the actual stage. And, you know, gigs are pretty similar now as they were then. Maybe difference in lighting and conditions and there's more things to buy at a higher price. But the facts of the journey that was made and the fashions and the vehicles involved and everything else that's going on and the people and the personnel that you can see, it's a fascinating collection. And of course, nice to see new photos of Led Zeppelin in one of their final performances as the original four-piece. I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan, so that's why this means this has particular relevance to me. But also, I think it's an interesting look at just how different things are 45 years ago to how they are now and how similar they are at the same time. Now, could we have said the same between 1979 and 45 years previous to that, the early 1930s? I don't know. And I've gone quiet. So, that is a collection of previously unseen photos of Led Zeppelin, who are, in my view, one of the greatest bands of all time. Which brings us back to an earlier mention of Thor Ragnarok, I think. And, you know, we've discussed Thor Ragnarok. I'll give you a link to that in the show notes as well, because I'm still of the opinion that that is Marvel's best hero movie. But, you know, you can make your own mind up on that. So, that is the end of this week's edition of Casterbrus. Or should I say this week's first edition of Casterbrus. You've got this early on Patreon. You get this at the weekend, a few days later on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and those places. You might get adverts with that version, but if you sign up to our free Patreon, there's new adverts, you get the podcast early, and you get some extra features as well. Now, I'll be back in a few days' time to introduce James's chat with Tom Selinski about the Red Dwarf book. Again, early on Patreon, ad-free on Patreon, and with extra content. And I'll be back next week with a weekly show. Until then, it's goodbye from me.